This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, what's up, everybody? That's good. I like that. I have no complaints. Normally, I complain about y'all's applause, but that was pretty good. I got nothing to say. So we're continuing our series this week called Mindsight. So the play on words, obviously. So you've heard the expression hindsight. Like so often we look behind. One of my favorite dumb expressions. Y'all know like dumb expressions that we say that we probably shouldn't say, but we say them anyway. For example, you know, be careful after somebody gets hit by something. We're like, you know, it's like, well, thank you for that, Nostradamus. I appreciate your prophetic insight there on noticing that I was about to get smacked, but you didn't tell me until after the fact that I got smacked, you know. So again, we're able to look back oftentimes and see what something is, see with greater clarity. And so we say something to the effect of, well, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I think hindsight is overrated because if you're looking back, then you can't necessarily see what's ahead. And so we're going through a series, we're in a series going through the passage in Philippians chapter 3 that I think helps us to see the life that God has in store for us in our heads so that we can then see it in reality in our lives, right? I think you have to understand, at least you don't fully understand it, right? I think that's where faith comes in. There are things that don't make sense, but I have to have at least kind of an operating knowledge so that I can then at least step in the right direction towards the life that God has for me. So that's where mindsight comes in. So like I said, we're going through a passage in Philippians chapter 3 that I think gives us kind of the components that are necessary to have the mindsight to see the life that God wants for us and then to step into and walk in the life that God has for us. So let's read Philippians chapter 3 verses 12 through 16. It says this, not that I have already grasped it all, grasped. That's a weird word to say. Think about it, grasped. Grasped. Not that I've already grasped it all or have already become perfect, but I press on if I may also take hold of that for which I was even taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having taken hold of it yet. I'm not there yet. I'm on my way, but I haven't made it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, all who are mature, right? I love, one of my favorite things, I'm a church person, right? I'm a church folk, so I love making fun of church folk. Like, we are allowed to do this. Like, self-deprecating humor is acceptable. There are a lot of, not in this church, but in other churches, there are a lot of immature people that go to church. Therefore, all who are mature, let's have this attitude that I haven't made it there yet, that I'm pressing on toward the goal of the high prize or the upward call, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, that I'm forgetting what lies behind and I'm reaching forward to what lies ahead. That's the attitude that I'm going to have. And it says, if any of you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you as well. However, let's keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. There's a standard, there's a life, there's a path that God has called us to, and that's what we're moving toward. This part, that last sentence, it says, let's keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. That's the life that he's called us to, right? And there are things that we can see in our heads so that we can see in our life that will help us to do that. The first one is, like we talked about, again, the first week, forgetting what lies behind, hindsight is overrated. I'm a firm believer that there is less value in looking back than there is in looking forward. Have you ever noticed, imagine if you go get in your car after church and we put your windshield was the size of your rearview mirror and your rearview mirror was the size of your windshield, what kind of catastrophe that would be? That'd be a problem, right? I mean, some of y'all probably still wouldn't drive any better, but... Right, because some of y'all, not y'all, but I say y'all collectively, like everybody who I encounter on the roads. Some people drive as if their windshield is the size of their rearview mirror and their rearview mirror is the size, you know what I'm saying? So it's more important, obviously, to look forward. So hindsight is overrated. And last week, we talked about what it means to reach forward to what lies ahead. This week, we're going to look at another element found in this passage That, and this one, to me, it helps us to continue to do that thing that we're called to do in pressing on. We press on towards the prize, towards this goal that God has called us to, and it is an upward call. I think understanding that you and I are called is what helps us to continue to go and to continue to press on and continue to not throw in the towel and to continue to answer the bell when you had a round where you got dinged up a little bit. And so what allows us to do that is understanding that we are called, that God has called you, that God has called me. It's kind of like the expression that you can endure any what if you know your why. Right? Anything that happens in your life, any what that takes place in your life, you can endure, you can get through it, you can again, face it and deal with it if you know your why. And the why for us is that we are called by God. He has a plan for our life. He has a destiny for us. He has things that he wants us to do. That is our why. And because of that why, we can deal with any what. So let's talk about the call. Have you heard the expression, the call? Like, you know, again, if you grew up in, how many of you grew up in church? You went to church VBS as a kid, and, you know, you did all that stuff. Father Abraham had many sons, right? I learned these later in life. Shelly had to teach me because I didn't really grow up with VBS and all that stuff. And so Shelly taught me all the, like, she caught me up to speed. She got me the fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut. Some of y'all know, what's another one? I am a C-H. Okay, anyway. See what y'all missed out on? Not much. No, I'm just kidding. So the word, the expression called, like you're called, this calling that's on your life, it's a word that a lot of times I think gets thrown around in church, and I think it's pretty clear, but I want to make sure that it's fully clear. One of the ways that it gets used is like we've used it to express people. We say they're called into ministry, and I think that's true. I think God calls people specifically into ministry, but I think every person is called. Like every person has been called by God to walk and to follow him and to go on the path that he has for them. So we are all called. So this phrase is found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, and it says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so I believe that our ability to press on is directly connected to that call that God has extended to each and every one of us, right? So I can press on because I'm called. I can face, I can endure, I can go through some adversity because I'm called, right? And I'm not going to be so focused on what's here, but I'm focused on what's there. I'm not going to be so consumed with all of the struggles in my life. I'm going to keep my eyes, like we talked about last week, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, right? So that's what we do. The word call here, if you reduce it down to its simplest form or the simplest way to understand it, it simply means an invitation. So it's have you ever gotten, I asked this question earlier, have you ever gotten an invitation and then acted like you didn't get the invitation? What invitation? I won't give too much detail, but I know of a person who got an invitation to jury duty. And they said, what invitation? And threw it in the trash. I was like, oh, Lord, you're going to get locked up. So an invitation is essentially, we understand this, right? Somebody is inviting you, they're bringing you into or giving you the opportunity to come into whatever it is that they are hosting or whatever experience it is that they have in store. And as it relates to the call, God is inviting us. He is trying to bring us into this experience, this life that he has for us. He's invited us into this life of faith, of following him and trusting him for salvation and for all of our other needs. I think you get a little better understanding of the expression invitation or the word invitation and kind of this idea of being called when you read, you couple it with a story that Jesus told. So Jesus tells a story in Matthew chapter 22. We're not going to read the whole thing, not because we're leaving stuff out, but because we have very short attention spans, right? I think it's very healthy, in fact. Go home and read the whole thing by yourself. Go read Matthew chapter 22. In fact, you can read it every day. You can read your Bible every day outside of church. I don't know if you knew that or not. I mean, I know that's a novel concept, but so we're not skipping stuff. We're just kind of, we're jumping for the sake of time. Everybody good with that? All right, good. Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, so Jesus tells stories, he uses illustrations, and he says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son, and he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. and they were not willing to come. So he sent out the invitation, and he called them, those who were invited, and they did not come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who were invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted calf are killed. My fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. That's all I needed to hear. Right? I mean, like, I'm seeing T-bone, filet, and ribeye. I'm in. You had me at hello, right? See, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. Again, he's making this invitation. At this point, it's almost like a plea. Like, I'm not just asking you. I'm begging you to come to this wedding. And in verse 5, it says this, but they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And so what I think is going on here is, so they're invited, right? And it's not that they're not invited, it's just that they made light of the invitation and they dismissed the invitation because they were so busy with their own things. If you wanted to kind of put a modern translation to this, or kind of a modern understanding to this, it's like, again, how many times have you asked somebody how they're doing or what they're doing, and they just start telling you about how busy they are? And they're so busy, and they can't do anything else, and they can't do anything productive, and they can't do, a lot of times, we can't do things that are good because we're so busy with things that are fruitless and frivolous, right? And that's kind of the scenario in which Jesus tells the story. It's like everybody, they went their own ways, they didn't take it seriously, they made light of it, and they did not accept the invitation. So fast forward just a little bit, Matthew chapter 22, verses 8 through 10, it says this, then, again, talking about the king inviting people to this banquet, then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. One version of this says to go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Like, I don't care who you get in. I don't care what they look like. I don't care where they've been, what they've done, how they look, what problems they've got. Just bring them to the wedding. And it says, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was, because this one is so interesting to me, because some people go to church and they think that everybody that goes to church is supposed to be good, right? And I'm like, I don't know if you know this or not, but church is a hospital. Church is like a triage. My prayer, I hope that this church is never filled with good people. I hope it's got good people, because we need some good people too. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Like, I hope that people are coming in where it ain't all good and you got problems and you come to the hospital, you come to the right place, you come to a place like this because you don't have it all together. Jesus said, I didn't come for those who are well, I came for those who are sick, and that's what the church is supposed to be about. So he gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding, I'm just stuck on that. Like, so if you want to go to a good church, go to a good church, but this ain't going to be a good church. We're going to be a church that's full of good people, but it's also full of, like, people who are messed up, and that's, y'all understand what I'm saying with that? Like, I know that can be one of those things that you take sound bites and completely mess it up, but whatever. And this is what it says. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. And so then, again, fast forward just a little bit more. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. So the idea here, and I think when we read that verse, sometimes we kind of have a sense of arrogance or superiority or pride. It's like, yeah, I'm chosen. The idea here is, bro, you made the third wave. You weren't on the first wave of invitations or the second wave of invitations. You were just fortunate enough to be on the third wave of invitations. And the fact that we are chosen, or the idea that we are chosen, is just that we answered the invitation. It has nothing to do with us. In fact, if you think about the story that Jesus is telling, he's like, hey, there is a king who had a son. And you are being invited into this life with this son. Obviously, the correlation is Jesus. The only reason that we got the invitation is because of Jesus. You didn't get the invitation because of you. You didn't get the invitation because of how good you are or how much you've got or what you've accomplished. You got the invitation. I got the invitation. I was called because of and only because of Jesus. And so that's what a call is. It's an invitation into this life. And let me tell you a little bit about the call. Let me give you some kind of insight as to what it is, what it looks like, and how it deals with you. Because I'll be honest with you, the call is not always your friend. Now, it has your best heart. It has your best intentions at heart. The call is always looking out for what's best for you, but sometimes the call is annoying. Sometimes the call won't let you do what you want to do. This call from God is relentless. It is relentless. Even when you're trying to run away and you're trying to get away and you're trying to do things that you're not supposed to, the call is perpetually there. It's always there, and it's always going to remind you with great frequency and regularity that you're not normal and you're not supposed to do what everybody else is doing, that you are different. You are called by God. You have been invited into this life of faith with Jesus. It's not something that you can escape. It's not something that you can outrun. I don't care how fast you are, how fleet-footed you are, how quick you think you is, you cannot outrun the call of God that's on your life. You can't get away from it. You can ignore it. It's kind of like, I was kind of thinking about this. This is probably offensive to some people, but I'm an equal opportunity offender, so here we go. The call, it's kind of like your mother-in-law. She just keeps calling. She just keeps calling. Not my mother-in-law. Your mother-in-law. She just keeps calling. Y'all have heard this story. Can I tell y'all a preacher joke real quick? Y'all have heard the story as to why it is that Peter betrayed Jesus 3 times. Because Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. It's a joke. It's a joke. Or is it? I don't know. So you can't, the call is, it's always there. It's just always calling you, always reminding you to the fact that you have a life in Christ that he wants for you. You can ignore this call. You can, just like you can ignore a call. Do y'all ignore calls? Shelly is the best. I feel obligated to answer. So I'm like, hello, just to make it clear that I'm not happy about answering the phone, but I answered the phone, right? So you can ignore the call, but do that at your own peril. Like, again, it can be a nuisance. It can be annoying, but it always has your best. It's what's best for you. It's the plan that God has for your life. Romans chapter 11, verse 29, it says this: for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. One version of this says that the calling of God is without repentance. That means it does not quit, it does not stop, and it does not apologize for continuing to pursue you, to continue to come after you. And I am so thankful that it doesn't. I'm so thankful that the calling of God doesn't just leave me in my despair and my mess and the chaos that I create, that the calling of God cuts through all of that stuff and continues to woo me and try to bring me back home to where I'm supposed to be, right? It makes me think about one of the Psalms of David in Psalm 23, verse 6. You're probably familiar with Psalm 23. It's the one you hear at funerals oftentimes, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And in verse 6, it says this: surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And you kind of get the sense of this again, the following. Like, it's with you wherever you go. You want to hear one more preacher joke? I promise I'm done after this. I heard a joke one time that a guy thought it would be a good idea to name his 2 children. He had 2 daughters, named them Goodness and Mercy. Little did he know that they were going to follow him all the days of his life. You got to get up out the house at some point, right? So surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so you kind of start to get the sense, you start to understand that the calling of God is following you, it's pursuing you, it's after you, and it's not going to stop. It is irrevocable. It does not repent, and it will pursue you all the days of your life. And the goal is, obviously, for us to answer the call, like to accept the invitation to step into this life that God has for us. So let's talk about what the upward call is, what it means, and how we answer that call. So our next point is going up, question mark. I guess I felt the need to say question mark just in case there wasn't enough inflection in my voice for you to get in the point that it was a question. Is that helpful? Maybe if we did like a full sentence, like, are you going up? Then I wouldn't have to do the question mark. But everybody good? Is everybody dumber now that we've spent the last 10 seconds going over that? So the most glaring and obvious aspect of the call to me is the descriptor that is used to explain it. So it doesn't just say that it's a call, although it is. It kind of makes a very clear distinction that it is an upward call. It is a call to something higher. It's a call to something that's greater. And you know what I've noticed about anything that's up? Anything that is up is difficult. Anything that is up is a challenge. You don't casually walk up a mountain. Or if you do, like, I need your lungs and your cardio. Like, you don't, Shelly and I, we went on a trip one time to Zion National Park. Has anybody been there? Spectacular. Don't go. It's terrible. It's overrated. You should never visit there. I just don't want anybody to know about how awesome it is so that it's not overcrowded. So it's super cool. So there's this hike that you can do called Angel's Landing. Well, somewhere about halfway, maybe three quarters of the way up this hike or on this hike, there's a section of the trail called Walter's Wiggles. And Walter is a sick man. He's twisted. So it's switchback after switchback after switchback after switchback. And I don't remember how many it was. Oxygen deprivation sets in at a certain point, like, because you've got the elevation aspect of it. And so at the end of the Walter's Wiggles and all of his madness, I'm dead. I'm like, right, dying, begging for oxygen, thinking things at some point. Like, I might just jump off the cliff at this point. I'm just like, maybe this may be the time, this may be the way to go. At least I went out on top until I was on the bottom, right? And so you don't casually go up a mountain. It takes effort. It is strenuous. It requires sacrifice, right? And so to me, when I hear about this upward call of God, it kind of points to the fact that there is some strain involved, that there is some sacrifice involved. You know, that there are times in your life where you want to quit, when your mind says, and you kind of sense the tension, where your mind's like, man, I need to do this. I need to keep going on. But your legs are like, mm-mm. No, homie, right? So there was another trip that we went on, and it was stairs all the way down to the bottom of this gorge. And I forget how many. It was hundreds of stairs. Going down wasn't so bad. Coming up, boy. And so your legs start shaking. Like, I've never had my calves convulse, but my calves were convulsing. It was embarrassing, really. Because then, like, there got, and look, this is not, I'm not a disrespecter of age, but there were people who were much older than I was who were just booking it. And I'm like, what, who are you? Like, where is the fountain of youth you've been drinking from? Like, give me some of that. And so your mind is like, let's go. But sometimes your body is like, I'm done. I'm tired. I want to quit. And so it reminds us again, this upward call is strenuous. There is strain. There is sacrifice that's involved. You know what else I've noticed about this whole up thing? I've noticed that you don't fall up. You fall down, right? Now, you can fall down while you're going up, but you got to get up if you want to keep going up, even if you fall down. Let me rewind that. You don't fall up, you fall down, and you can fall down while you're going up if you want to keep going up when you fall down. That helpful, right? So that's kind of the idea, is like, hey, you're going to fall down, but just you've got to get up if you want to keep going up. And knowing that we are invited by God, again, this comes back to the why, knowing that we are invited by God, this incredible King, to this banquet that we don't deserve to be at, is reason enough for us to continue to get up. So the upward call, it's a reminder that anything up is difficult. There are challenges involved with it. But I think there's another thing worth noting here about an upward call. And it's kind of, to me, the fact that anything that is, again, an upward call, a higher call, is something that is greater in quality, right? So if it's a higher call, think about this expression you heard. Usually people tell us this when we don't want to hear it, but people tell you to take the high road. And people only tell you to take the high road when you want to take the low road. Have you noticed that? I'm like, man, I wish you would have kept that advice to yourself. You're right, but I wish you would have held that one till after I took the low road, then I could get back on the high road. So the expression, take the high road, is really, it's just a call to what? To a higher standard of living. It's a call to making better choices, not necessarily easy choices, but doing what's right, because doing what's right is always better than doing what's easy. And that's what this higher calling, this upward call is. It's a call to a higher standard, which, again, requires sacrifice. Like, so if you want to live a higher standard, there will be sacrifice involved on your part. Which means, let me give you some kind of real life examples of this. Like, you don't necessarily get to do what everybody else is doing because you were called to a different standard than everybody else is living by. That why did that hit so hard? Right? Everybody's like, dang, Pastor. It's that we don't necessarily get to do what everybody else is doing, and the way that everybody else is living, and the way that everybody else is acting, and the way that everybody else is childish on Facebook. Like, we don't necessarily get to... That was funny. We don't necessarily get to do that stuff because what? We are called to a higher standard. We have an upward call. And we can't, because we want to go up, because we want to get higher, we can't be anchored to this world. We can't be tethered to this earth and all of the cares and concerns of this world. We've got something bigger to be concerned with, right? We've got this heavenly-minded, kingdom-focused mentality where everything that's going on here doesn't matter as much as what's going on up there, right? And where we're going and what we're trying to do. Now, obviously, our goal is to bring heaven to earth, but you've got to get to heaven before you can bring heaven to earth. Not literally, but you know what I'm saying? Like, knowing God and that was, okay, I'm not going to spend too much time on that because it was good and I don't want to mess it up. I heard an old story. This is not a preacher joke. It's a preacher story. There's a difference. There's an old story about two preachers that were hanging out and they were chatting and chopping it up. And inevitably, when you get, this is my experience, when you get two preachers together, what happens is they start complaining about their church. I never do this. Like, I have nothing to complain about. I have the greatest church in the world. Honestly, I rarely complain about you guys. Sometimes, but rarely. And I'm sure you complain about me too. That's what's so beautiful. We can love each other, but we don't have to like each other all the time, okay? So these two preachers, they got together and they're hanging out. And one of them, man, he's just unloading about all of his problems and all the things going on in his church. And he's got these old ladies that won't quit gossiping. And he's got these dudes that just stand out in the foyer the whole time. And they come to church, but they don't come to church, right? They stand out in the foyer the whole time. And they just chit-chat and chop it up and don't do anything. They don't contribute. And they're just griping and going on and on about everything that's going on. And then he started talking about the demon deacons in his church. We don't have deacons, so we don't have any of the demon deacons. So he's just going on and on about all the problems going on in his life. And the other preacher is just kind of looking at him and just making these hand gestures. Can you imagine how frustrating it would be? I can't imagine, like, how many bruises I would have if I tried to do that with Shelly. And Shelly is telling me about her day and that maybe what happened and what somebody did. And I'm just like, making these hand gestures. So finally, the preacher that's complaining, he's like, dude, are you even listening to me? What are you even doing making all these hand gestures? And he looked at him and he said, bro, you are over here swatting at flies when you're supposed to be soaring with eagles. You are so concerned about all these little petty things, all these small things that are going on, and all these little pieces of drama here and all these problems, like all this stuff that weighs you down when you're supposed to be living an upward call. You were called to something higher. Did you know that there is a certain altitude at which flies and insects struggle to live? So when you get to a certain altitude, obviously the temperature changes, the molecules in oxygen start to separate a little bit more, so the air is different. And at a certain point, it is difficult for flies to live above a certain altitude. When we get to a certain place in our lives, when we get higher in this upward call, we're just not consumed with these stupid flies. Have y'all had a lot of flies lately? Good Lord, I don't know what the deal is, but man, we're constantly swatting at flies, and we're called to live a higher life than that. That's what God has called us to. And so that's to answer the question, are you going up? I hope you are. Stop swatting flies if you want to go up. Last point, upward equation. That's what we're going to call this one. I want to wrap up today with kind of a brief explanation of how I believe that we achieve. That was fun just because it rhymed, right? How I believe that we achieve this upward trajectory. Like, we're trying to go up. This is our plan. This is what, it's God's plan, and we want to follow God's plan, so we want to follow this upward call. But I got to warn you, it's kind of backwards, like so many things in God's kingdom. For example, if you want to find your life, what do? You lose it, right? And then it's just like, wait, what? It's a head scratcher. So simply put, to go up, you have to go down. Right? If you want to go up, you got to go down. John chapter 3, verses 30 and 31, it says this. And this is John the Baptist talking about Jesus. And he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. Right? He who comes from heaven is above all. He who comes from above is above all, and he who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. He must increase, and I must decrease. If I want to go up, I've got to go down. My life has got to become more about Jesus and less about me, more about what he wants for me, more about living a life that reflects him and less about doing the things that I want or things that gratify my own flesh, things that honor him less than things that please other people, right? I must decrease as he increases. He must increase and I must decrease. If we want to go up and we want to walk in this invitation to life that God has extended to us, our lives just have to become less and less about us and more about him. Now, here's what's cool about this. Like, because when you hear that, maybe that sounds like, oh man, God wants us all to be the same. And that's not the case at all, right? That would be contradictory to his creative nature. Like God is very creative. Think about the uniqueness in which he created every person that he created. Think about just the colorfulness of nature. And let's not get weird. I'm not going Bob Ross on you, but think about just nature and all of the complexity of nature and how beautiful it is and all the different types of trees and plants and flowers. It's just all of that stuff. So why would God call us to uniformity when he's created such complexity in nature? What I think instead is that we are all called to be like him, but we do that kind of with our own flair and uniqueness, the way that he created us. I think about it like this. How many of you had paint when you were a kid? Like you did finger painting and stuff like that? How many of you were actually pretty good? I'll tell you guys a really quick story. I won a sixth grade student council election with a painting. It was because my painting got messed up and everybody felt sorry for me, but I won. It was paint by numbers, too. I cheated. It's not proud of it. Not a proud moment, but that's what happened. So when you're painting and you're a kid, one of the things that I know that I like to do, and I suspect you like to do, is like we would try to create our own custom colors, right? We would take the different colors and we would mix them together to see what color would come out of it. And I think that's kind of what it looks like when God gets involved in our lives and all the different areas of our life. It's like his color mixes with our color and it creates this custom color that we can then go out into the world and paint the world with our own custom color, God-inspired. Okay, that was way better preaching than your amen in, but it's okay. I'm comfortable enough to know that you guys are going to just stare at me sometimes, and I'm good with that. So it's our own custom color. It's this way that God uses us uniquely and specifically. Kind of the way that I've always thought of this, I guess the way that I've summed this up is a phrase that I feel is semi-original. I may have stolen bits and pieces of it, but I think the totality of it is mine, right? It's mine. You can't have it. I copyrighted it. I haven't yet, but I might. And it's this. You are the only you. You've never heard that one before, have you? Okay, there's more. You are the only you, and only you can do what you can do, so you better do what God has called you to do. You are the only you, and only you can do what you can do, so you better do what God has called you to do. You are the only you. You're the only one that's that color, whatever your unique color is, and God has called you. You're the only one that can do what you can do, so you better allow him to mix his color with your color so that you can then go make this difference in the world that you're called to make. I think one of the ways to look at this is if you don't do what you're called to do, if you don't step into the life that God has called you to, you are leaving a hole in history. You're leaving a blank where there should be something, a space, right? Something should be filling that space, and it's the things that God has called you to do. And the only way that you do that is by answering the call. Answering the call, regardless of how you feel about it, because sometimes you don't feel it. And man, we are the most sensitive society on the face of the planet. Like we do everything based on how we feel. How about we do things based on what we're called to? Less than how we feel. Because I'll be real honest with you, I don't always feel like being nice. In fact, I don't, never mind, I'm going to stop. So let me give you an example of what we should do day in and day out, day in and day out, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what everybody else is doing, regardless of what the world around you is doing, this is what we do. You answer that was the most annoying ringtone I could think of. Like that classic iPhone ringtone. I didn't throw anybody under the bus. But what do we do? What do we do? Are you going to quit? Are you going to throw in the towel because it got hard? Or are you going to answer the call. Your mother-in-law's calling. Are you gonna start doing what everybody else is doing because everybody else is doing it? Or are you gonna answer the call? Man, it's such an easy way to be reminded, man, that God is always, he's always calling. And not, I wanted to say God's always watching because he is, but it's not in such a, I don't know, I think we use that in such a negative way, like God's watching and waiting for you to mess up. No, God is calling you. He's inviting you to a life filled with him, a life filled with wonder, a life filled with opportunity, a life filled with adventure, a life filled with love, a life filled with grace. It's not that he's just watching you. He's inviting you. He's calling you into a life filled with him. So my God, answer the call. Answer the call. Continue to answer the call. Like, even if you don't feel like answering the call, keep answering the call. Wake up tomorrow when you got to go to work and answer the call. Wake up next Sunday when you feel like you got it. I don't even like this the way we term the terminology we use about church. Like, for example, when we started Motion almost 12 years ago, we decided we weren't going to call our gatherings a service, because it feels so obligatory. It's like, oh, I have to go to church. I got to go to service. Like, you got community service and you're putting in your time, right? So instead, we wanted to call it an experience. Why? Because it is an honor to gather together with God's people and to celebrate and experience God's presence. It's an honor to be invited. I didn't deserve to be invited. You didn't deserve to be invited. But God called us in spite of us. So answer the call. Answer the call. Keep answering the call. Always answer the call. Answer the call when you don't feel like answering the call. Answer the call when you get tired. Answer the call when you get hurt. Answer the call. And this is when you got church hurt. I don't even know what the heck that is. Like, the church didn't hurt nobody. People hurt people. People in the church hurt people. So stop blaming the church for people. Good Lord, when the church hurts you, answer the call. When everybody hurts you, when the world's against you, when darkness surrounds you, answer the call. Just keep answering the call. Because you want to know who answered the call? Let's talk about who answered. Let's talk about Jesus answering the call. The call for him to give his life willingly for us. He answered that call. And he didn't shudder at it. He didn't wince at it. Like, he did what he was called to do because of his love for us. And if he can do it for us, we can do it for him. Amen. Let me pray for us. Jesus, you are so, so good. God, what an honor. What an honor to be a part of your church, of your kingdom, God, of what you are doing here on the earth. God, we didn't deserve the invitation, but you gave it to us anyway. So thankful. So gracious, kind you are. God, I pray that you help us to answer the call. God, if anybody's here today and they haven't answered that initial call to follow you, to trust you with their life, to step out in faith and to make you the Lord of their lives, God, I pray that they would answer the call. God, if there are people here who are just struggling with their faith and they're not sure what their next steps look like, God, and they've got doubts and questions, God, I pray that they would answer the call. God, if they're here and they've been here every Sunday since the doors have been open, they've been following you all of their lives, God, that they would continue to answer the call. Regardless of the stage or phase of life that we're in, God, help us just to be faithful like you were and to continue to answer the call. Jesus, we love you. We're so thankful for you. And it's in your incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.